I'm live. What's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. My name is Tariq Nasheed, and we're live on this lovely afternoon. I'm in Los Angeles. I know a lot of you are looking at the Democratic debate garbage that's going on now, but while you're looking at that, you can look at this and listen to this. We're going to chop up some real game on today's broadcast. But what we're going to do now, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So don't you move a muscle, because we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, check out the new music artist Professor Archibald and his new release, the Workforce Struggle EP. It's available right now on every streaming platform, YouTube, Apple Music, Amazon, Tidal, and many, many more. My man Professor Archibald also produces music as well, so if you need beats, hit him up on Twitter at ArchieProfess, or you can email him at ArchieBeats28@gmail.com. Would you like to make six figures or more providing court-mandated classes like anger management, DUI, or shoplifting prevention? If so, go to courtmandatedtraining.com and sign up for the free webinar that will help you get started, even if you have no experience. So if you want to get that bag, if you want to get some money and do it the right way, go to courtmandatedtraining.com to learn more. Again, that's courtmandatedtraining.com. Yo, is dating and relationships and life in general kicking your ass? Well, that might be because you think this is a game out here, and it's not. This is war. So come on a mission with Victory Unlimited, the world's first black self-help superhero, and listen to dating, relationship, and life strategy advice like you've never heard before. The Victory Unlimited Show, available at victoryunlimitedshow.com and everywhere else that great podcasts are heard. Attention parents and teachers, are you looking for something that will educate and relate to our children? If so, you need to order the Gifted and Lit bundle today. Gifted and Lit, that's an educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. This bundle includes two DVDs, two CDs, a coloring book, and a workbook. Order your copies right now at giftedandlit.com. Again, that's giftedandlit.com. What's up, family? We are finally beginning to get on code for justice and economic empowerment, and now we got to make our empowerment a lifestyle. So I introduce to you On Code Clothing. On Code Clothing is our thing, all black, everything, and fly. But make no mistake, this gear is exclusive and it's not for everyone. You got to be grassroots aligned and in the know to truly appreciate this lifestyle brand. So check us out now at OnCodeClothing.com. Sign up and save 10% and enjoy free shipping on most orders. Again, that's OnCodeClothing.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
What's up, family? We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in right here on Tariq Radio. Whoops, get my Mac and music together. How y'all doing, family? We're here. I hope you guys have your tickets for Hidden Colors 5. Hidden Colors 5 is in theaters all over the country. We've added a couple of new cities, and you can go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to see these cities we have added. All right, HiddenColorsFilm.com. I know Dallas is literally almost sold out. There's about 10 seats left in Dallas. I know that for sure. And some of the other cities are close to being sold out. I think the Atlanta showing may or may not be sold out, almost. And they might be adding another showing because it's about to be sold out. But again, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. HiddenColorsFilm.com. It's going to premiere all over the country, one day only, Thursday, August 1st, the month of Ogun. Thursday, August 1st, all over the country. The world premiere will be the day before here in Los Angeles. So Wednesday, July 31st, that's the premiere. All my LA people, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, get your tickets for the LA premiere. That one's going to be off the chain, ladies and gentlemen. So HiddenColorsFilm.com. So a lot of stuff going on right now. I know the Democratic debates are going on right now. I'm not watching. I just want to see what the highlights are going to be because, again, I tweeted this earlier. I don't want to see the benign neglect policy be implemented on live TV, so I'll just get the clip notes. I will just get the clip notes, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to tune in and watch them BS me for hours, so I'll just wait for the damn clip notes. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about on tonight's broadcast. By the way, Dog the Bounty Hunter, his wife, the white supremacist family, the Chapman family, Dog the Bounty Hunter, his wife Beth, she died of cancer today. And we've been talking about that on social media. We've been giving praise to Ogun about that. And there's a lot of white supremacists who are upset with us talking about we should be more sensitive to the death of Beth and the family. This is a person's death. You shouldn't be insensitive to somebody's death. And these are the same bastards who sit up here and mock and ridicule and antagonize black people and their families for getting killed by these damn race soldiers out here. Black folks are getting slaughtered, and these people laugh and mock us every damn day. See, this is the hypocrisy of white supremacy. They want to sit up here and mock and ridicule and harass us and rejoice in our deaths. And then when karma hits one of them and we acknowledge the karma, because that's what this is, and it was a slow karma death, then they want to say, hey, let's all just be a little sensitive here. I mean, she might have... Well, it was Dog the one. He might have said some racist things. It wasn't her. No, she was just as racist as he was. Let me tell y'all, and I've seen a couple of Negroes baking biscuits. Well, Lord, we still need to show compassion. Get y'all asses out of here. Get the hell out of here. We don't need to show nothing. I don't play that Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. No, no, I'm going to praise Ogun for corrective action. The universe and the energy and the God force, they don't want white supremacy on this planet. White supremacy is demonic. Do you think the God force, the universe, wants that type of filth on this planet? A system where people are dominating and mistreating people because of the color God made them? And you think that sweet precious Lord is going to go for that? You think he wants that type of system? No. So when the sweet precious Lord gets rid of disgusting anti-black white supremacists and their families, why should I get mad at the Lord's work? That's the Lord's work. And some of you Negroes out here, you praise white supremacy, but I don't. I praise sweet, precious Jesus and Ogun. Give it to me. Come on. This is who I praise. And Ogun wants to sing a happy noise. This is what Ogun wants me to do. You understand me? I've had these white supremacists all in my mentions talking about, come on. We're all human beings now. Now we're human beings. Oh, come on. Don't play the race card here. This is a person you should grieve. This woman was a mother. This was a mother. Well, let me tell y'all something. Y'all didn't grieve when the black mother got executed by that race soldier a week or so ago down there in Texas. Nobody grieved. Y'all mocked that. Y'all ridiculed that poor black woman who was a mother for getting murdered in the streets, and you didn't do anything about the race soldier. So now that this white supremacist has croaked, I say let's shout out to Ogun. Hit it!
We need celebration.
But like I said, I don't have no guilt for celebrating God's work. I don't. We should all celebrate God's work. And if you notice, there's a lot of karma is hitting some of these white supremacists and race soldiers just back to back to back to back to back in the month of June. And again, this is the anniversary of the Red Summer, where white supremacists were attacking black people in the year 1919. This is the 100-year anniversary. So there's a lot of good Ogun spirit going down. And this dog, the bounty hunter, and his family, what I like is that this man, he killed somebody in the 70s. They gave him a slap on the wrist. And the system of white supremacy kept protecting this man, kept giving him shows, just kept coddling this man and protecting his deadly genocidal white supremacy and his family. But white supremacy don't work on karma. Your white supremacy don't work on that. You can't use your white supremacy against the karma of the universe. Hit it! Come on! One time. Ogun,
we need celebration.
Ogun,
we need celebration.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, but that's the universe talking. That is the universe. And for those, let me give you a reminder. Some of you people who don't know, because the media, they've been trying to hide, you know, his dog, the bounty hunter's racism. They're trying to hide his racism. Let me give y'all a reminder of what this man and his family feels about black people. This is the infamous tape of Dog the Bounty Hunter talking about black folks. Hold on.
Or whatever. It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word nigger sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some fucking nigger heard us say nigger and turned us into the Inquirer magazine. Our career is over. I'm not taking that chance at all. Never in life. Never. Never. If Leach was dating a nigger, we would all say, fuck you. And you know that. If Lisa brought a black guy home, yeah, da-da. And it's not that they're black. It's none of that. It's that we use the word nigger. We don't mean you fucking scum nigger without a soul. We don't mean that shit. But America would think we mean that. And we're not taking a chance on losing everything we got over a racial slur. Because our son goes with the girl like that. I can't do that, Tucker. You can't expect Gary, Bonnie, Cecily, all them young kids to, because I'm in love for 7 months. I fucked that. So I'll help you get another job, but you cannot work here unless you break up with her.
So he was trying to get his son to break up with a black girl. His son was dating a black girl. Okay, just to put that in context. So he was trying to get his son to break up with a black girl. This nigger without a soul. Fucking niggers without souls. And you think I got compassion for this piece of shit and his big, funky, funny-shaped wife because she didn't croak because of the spirit of Ogun has blessed us with her absence? You think I give a shit? Hit it! You, come on!
We need celebration.
You,
We need celebration.
All right, that's enough of that. Anyway, let me put my Mac and music back on. Yeah, people got me real fucked up. You think I give a damn about that woman croaking? You think I give a shit as much as y'all mock and ridicule innocent black folks? No, that's the universe cleansing itself of white supremacists. And it has some more cleansing to do. I'm not mad at the universe. I'm not mad at the earth. I'm not mad at sweet, precious Lord. I ain't mad at that one bit. But anyway, what else is happening out here? Let's talk about some other stuff that's going on in the news before I get to my main topic. There was a sister on Twitter. She was speaking about out-of-shape women. This very attractive sister down there in Louisiana, she was by the swimming pool in her apartment complex, and this is fine. This sister's body is banging. This sister's body is all on point. Nice old golden brown sister, real sexy, and not as sexy as my damn wife. Let me get this shit straight before my wife hear this shit and there's problems at home. But she's fine, motherfucker. This chicken, she's fine. Not as fine as Mama Peanut. But so the sister was sitting out by her pool, and somebody went and told the manager that her bathing suit was inappropriate. There wasn't nothing wrong with this woman's bathing suit. So, you know, they tried to, the apartment people tried to holler at the sister about her bathing suit, and nothing was wrong with it. It was clearly some out of shape, haggard, mayonnaise encrusted white supremacist female that went and told on her. And I've always said that the white supremacist female, they are so insecure about attractive black women. If there's y'all heard me say this many times, whenever there's an attractive black woman somewhere and there's a bunch of these old, haggard, decrepit ass white women, they are the biggest damn haters on the planet. Especially if you have to work with them women. If you're a sister, you look halfway decent, you come to work trying to dress cute. That's why a lot of sisters gotta dress down and make yourself look frumpy on the job, because they get real insecure because they watch your damn every move. So the minute you wear some a tad bit tight or whatever, they go try to report your ass down to human resources. They do that all the time, and they always put extras on it. Well, you can come to work fully in a business suit. You can come to work with a blouse, pants, and a little short blazer on, and they'll be like, "Yeah, she came in. Yeah, she Turquoise came to work in some Daisy Dukes and a halter top. Yeah. Yeah, she had some Daisy Dukes. I mean, it was just her big black ass all over the place." If you let them tell it. Oh, they're so they are so insecure about sisters. That's why the only women who are black they like around them, they like the big mammies around them. You got to be 800 pounds. That's who they're comfortable around. They're comfortable around people who are not sisters, who are not traditionally physically model-esque. You know, they want the Gabby Sitter Bays. That's who they're comfortable around. They want the Tarana Burks. That's who they're comfortable around. You see these women, these are the ones they bring around. That's who they're comfortable around. And they've always had this vitriolic thing about attractive, shapely, sexually appealing black women. They've been having that little thing, that hang up about them ever since slavery. That's what the Casual Killing Act and all this stuff is about. We talked about this in Hidden Colors 4, how they had those laws that allowed slave owners and their families to kill black people without getting punished, because so many white women were killing black girls, because those black girls were developing and getting shapes on their bodies, and then masses started chasing those little black girls around, and the white women felt a certain way about it. So those white women would attack those sisters, just like in the movie 12 Years a Slave, how they were doing the Lupita character, the white woman beating up on her all the damn time. They've been doing that. And also, when these white women be adopting kids, God forbid these white women adopt these little black girls. My heart goes out. Like the Hart family, those white supremacist lesbians who adopted those black kids, when those girls became teenagers, those white women were abusing those babies. They were abusing them girls left and right. And another time, a black girl called my show. She was adopted. And when she became a teenager, the white woman, the white wife of the husband who adopted her, she started acting funny towards the black girl. They're real funny with that type of stuff, man. They be abusing the hell out of them black girls. So, you know, that's nothing new. And we have to understand the politics of being around white supremacists. This is why I always say, family, when it comes to people in the dominant society, and I said this the other day, I don't want to be friends with anybody in the dominant society unless they're helping me produce justice. If you're not helping me produce justice, why in the hell am I your friend? I don't need to be friends with you. And black folks got to be on that. We have to all think like that. What the hell are we friends with people in the damn dominant society for? And they're not helping us produce justice. If you're friends with people in the dominant society and they're not trying to help you produce justice, I mean, you're walking into a damn ambush. You are walking into an ambush. And there was a situation this week that happened in Oklahoma where a black man was in a bar and a couple of random white dudes came up and they were extra friendly to him. And they were buying him drinks and they were all hugging him and just acting like the best of friends with this man. And the brother was just going along with it. He's like, oh shit, two drinking buddies. Oh, they're hella cool. They're paying for all my drinks. Oh shit, that's cool. So they basically get this dude drunk and then ambushed him and start beating him up and damn near beat this dude into a coma. They beat him unconscious. Let me let y'all hear his wife. I think his wife was there with him, and she's white. So he got like some little white wife in some little hick town in Oklahoma. So listen to this.
Drinks.
Hold on. Listen to this. Listen to this.
The guy who did most of the pounding on him, he was buying my husband drinks and hugging him and acting like they were just the best of friends.
Video Sean's wife Jamie is talking about that a witness shot Saturday morning. Jamie says that's her husband and his friend being attacked by two men. As the men finally leave, you can hear one of them yell, "You're dead," followed by a racial slur.
After they knocked him out, I continue to beat him. I mean, they just pounded on him like he was nothing.
Sean, a father of two, was rushed to the hospital with life-threatening injuries, and he's still in the hospital today.
The guy who did most of the pounding on him, he's...
Okay, y'all hear that? So these dudes basically got this fool drunk, and I'm saying he's a fool because we got to stop being naive with these white supremacists, man. Somebody said the volume is low. When you guys hear the playback, you can hear it better. That was as high as I could get it. But the brother should have known right away when these people were being too damn friendly with him that something was wrong. And black folks, you better understand this. When people in the dominant society are just being randomly extra friendly to you, sometimes you better be on alert because they're setting you up for it. They're setting you up for the takedown. If you're being friendly and nice to me and you're not helping me replace white supremacy with the system of justice, and you're just being unusually nice for some reason, and I don't really know you like that, and okay, you're trying to get something, or you're trying to set me up for something. So y'all, and that's what happened with Cuba Gooding. Cuba was at the bar drunk. That's how they get niggas. They let you get drunk and high. He's drunk, and then a white woman said, oh shit, this is gonna be my come up, because he's all hugging everybody. So the minute he touches me, hell, I'm gonna go file a charge on him. And sure enough, she went over there, hi Cuba, and he's all, hey, how you doing? He's drunk and leaning all over on her. And she ran. Oh my God, I was so sexually assaulted. And they got locked his ass up. You fell for the okie doke. Man, these white supremacists can't be trusted at all. That's why I'm so bold with the way I get down and the way I talk. They know I don't trust them like that. I don't hang around them unless it's some business and they're making me some paper. Unless they're making me paper and it's all business. I'm not trying to kick it and kaka and kiki. No. No. It's all business with me. And it should be that same way with you. That's one reason I do not drink. And I've been to meetings before. They were just trying to toss drinks at me. Like, no, hey, try this. Come on, man. Try this drink. Try this. This is the drink. All this is an expensive drink. It's $3,000 a shot. No, I'm good. I don't drink. I don't need that. Non-white people need to understand, and that happened with the Native Americans. They started getting them drunk with the fire water. Then when they sobered up, the land was gone. When they come around you with the drinks and the smoke and all that other stuff, y'all should know by now, goddamn, it's a trap. It's a trick bag. Y'all don't be out here drinking with folks you don't know. But see, a lot of black folks be on some, well, shit, free drinks? I was going to get something for free from them? No. They weaken you up when you drunk. They like to weaken you up so they can give you shitty business deals. They love doing that. That's why all your rappers, they give them all the drugs they want. All the drugs and weed and everything they want. The minute you get signed, they got drugs, weed, a cachet of women to throw at you so you can blow all your damn money right away. You know how many black artists and got hooked on drugs because of the white people in the industry? Ike Turner said he got hooked on drugs because of Elvis. Elvis got him hooked on cocaine. And this is why I say to black folks, man, we better cut all that drinking and damn smoking out and be on top of our game. We need to cut out all that damn drinking and smoking. I've been saying this for years. Y'all remember, if y'all listened to that interview that we did over at ISM with our brother, rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle. We talked to Nipsey. I talked to Nipsey about the drinking and smoking, and he was talking about he cut down because it was messing up some of his business. So this is some real talk right here. We don't have time to be no drinking and fucking smoking. We in a damn war with these white supremacists. The last thing we need to do is just be out of our minds and not be focused. We need to be as focused and as clear as possible. This is why so many of us are sitting ducks right now. You running around high and not paying attention to your damn surroundings when these race soldiers pull up. So you high and you want to babble, because that's what motherfuckers do when they're high. They start babbling instead of being focused and looking at the chess move in front of them. We better be on top of our game. All day. Remember, there's a saying, if you act like prey, you get treated like prey. There's a video of this white dude. He has some kind of alligator sanctuary. I don't know where this is. It might be in Florida somewhere, but this white boy said something real, real true. He was with the alligators and he was standing firm. He was showing some examples, like when he walks away, the alligator starts chasing him. But when he stands firm and doesn't move and act dominant, the alligator stands still. And he said, the thing is, you don't act like prey. If you act like you're prey by running away, they're going to go after you and attack you. But if you don't act like prey, they won't rock with you. They won't mess with you. And that's the same in life. When you come across as somebody who's not to be fucked with, they ain't gonna fuck with you. You better establish that out the gate, that you ain't the one to be fucked with, because it will go down and I'll sacrifice it all to make it go down. When you have that mentality, people back up off you. But most people who are victims, who are prey, are people who are desperate to make friends with those in the dominant society, and just that friend thing ain't working. Negroes who who are desperate and who desire to be accepted by those in the dominant society, that's prey. And they can tell that you're prey. And they treat you like prey. When people see that you ain't trying to be accepted by them and you have a domineering personality and you can stand on your own independently, they don't have an angle on you. So they have to tread with you because they don't know how you're going to come. And that's how you want them to be. But we got to stop acting like prey, because that's why we get treated like prey. We get around folks, and the minute there's a threat, we get to nigga-splaining and all that stuff without neutralizing the threat. We got to learn how to neutralize the damn threat. And we got to check stuff out the gate. We got to check stuff and shut it down out the gate. There's a video that I posted earlier. I think this it looked like it happened at an airport somewhere, but there was a white family sitting around the airport talking. And they said, somebody in the family said something slick. And this happens a lot with suspected white supremacists. A lot of times, black folks, you notice this. You'll be the only black person sitting around and there's a gang of white people. And many of them might be suspected white supremacists. And they'll deliberately say some slick shit on the low. And they'll do it in earshot so that you can hear them. They'll say something real condescending. And then they'll try to code it up a little bit. But they'll do it in earshot so you can hear them. They real good at that little type of stuff. So they were trying to do this and they were at an airport and somebody in the family said, hey, is such and such from the nice part of Oakland or are they from the ghetto side of Oakland? And there was a brother sitting right by him. So the brother checked him on that because the brother was from Oakland. So I want y'all to listen to this exchange. And then the family got hella quiet. They just sitting there not saying nothing, looking shook. But listen.
This boy just asked somebody, are you from the nice Oakland or the ghetto Oakland? The fuck? What is ghetto Oakland? He don't even know the...
Hold on, my...
Meaning the ghetto. He said the ghetto Oakland. That's crazy. What's your name, bro? What's your name, bro? What's your name, nice Oakland dog?
Now, this brother's all up there on the family. They all sitting there quiet as church mice. Now, they're not saying nothing. They ain't saying nothing now.
Oakland, bro. Look at his people. What's your name, bro? What's your name, dog?
Now they're getting up. The white family's getting up, walking off now.
You from a nice Oakland, too? You from the nice Oakland too, dog?
Okay, that's it. All right, so yeah, they walk off and didn't say nothing now that the brother hollered at him and checked him on that. Because they knew what they did was slick. That's why they didn't say nothing. They knew what they did was slick. They knew what they did was slick. And we got to start checking folks on that. Yeah, I know they're gentrifying Oakland. I know they are. And I saw there's a video of some white supremacists. I want to say it's Oakland or Vallejo. I think it might be Vallejo. This white dude goes around antagonizing black people. And it's like some neighborhood. I don't know where it is. But he goes around filming them, antagonizing them. And when they start getting at him, he runs in the house and calls the police. You know, so you got a lot of these little white supremacists who does that type of stuff. There's another one in D.C. who does the same thing. This dude, Nick Starr. Something. Yahoo just did an article about him and they mentioned me in the article. This white boy, he goes around harassing black women who tries to go to the swimming pool, telling them they can't have glass drinks out there, just coming up with different reasons to harass these sisters. And his excuse is he does it because he's autistic and he don't know no better, which is a bunch of horse shit. But what we got to do, we got to start filing suits against these people. This dude, they need to file a class action suit on this guy. People need to all start getting together and filing charges on these people for racial harassment. We got to start doing stuff like that. But yeah, this dude's trying to use a fake disability, and he's a white LGBT dude too, another racist white LGBT dude. So he's trying to use a disability, whether he has one or not, to justify his anti-black racism. You dig? So we got to be on top of the game out here. Anywho, what else is in the news? I saw another story, and this is interesting. There was a dude, and they call him a social media influencer. I don't know what the hell. Nobody never heard of this guy. This black dude. And his name is Julius Stukes. That's his name. And he basically, they promote this guy. He said how an influencer traveled to L.A. for 8 days on a $250 budget. So the article says Julius Stukes Jr. is a social media influencer, comedian, actor who knows a thing or two about traveling on a budget. So they're making it seem like this dude is about to give some real thorough advice on how to travel and be very frugal and how to save money and cut deals or whatever. So I'm trying to, you know, this is what the impression of the article was. I'm thinking this dude, okay, how did this guy go on a travel thing for $250? How was this a budget thing? So it says he began his trip on June 17th, spending $18 doing a quick trip to Target for snacks. The most expensive item he purchased that afternoon was a bottle of sangria for $5. So he's showing all the stuff he paid. $2 for chips on the first day, granola $3. Okay. Then the next day he was like, okay, I went to dinner. My friend paid for my dinner, so that was no money. So now I got $176 left. A few days later, my friend paid for breakfast, so that was no money. Then I'm looking like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So I'm looking at all of the stuff this dude is talking about. And then later that night, I enjoyed a Mary J. Blige concert thanks to a coworker for fronting the cost. So, nigga, you didn't budget anything. Okay, this nigga didn't really budget anything. Basically, this nigga got flued out. Like the city girl said, this nigga done got flued out. His friends must be white, by the way he's talking. So you mooching off your friends. That ain't no budget. His friends must be white because I'm looking at people and they got their hands and feet in the thing. So most of his friends are white. So basically, this nigga got flued out. This nigga's acting like he didn't come up with some kind of economical budget. No, nigga. You doing what's called being a bitch. Nigga, you doing what women do. Women get flued out and have niggas pay for shit and not spend money, nigga. You just being a bitch. You're not. And then what he's trying to do, I guess, to make himself feel better, try to make it seem like it's an economic, frugal experiment. No, nigga. You using bussy coins because you must be giving up something to get free food. You using bussy coins, not bitcoins. That nigga using bussy coins. Fuck is you talking about, dude? You ain't doing nothing new. Don't try to hide your moisture because it's moist to have a damn man. You got other men buying you shit. That's moist to go out of town and dudes buying you shit, nigga. That's real fucking moist. I don't care how you change that and switch it up and flip it. It's moist to have dudes feeding you on a damn vacation, nigga. There's a name for that. It's called a hoe. Nigga, you out there getting bussy juice all on vacation, all over the place, nigga. Using your bussy coins. That's what you're budgeting with. Say all of it, nigga. Don't sit up and act like you some kind of economic genius and you using bussy coins. Fuck out of here. I hate when people do little shit like that. Act like they try to flip it and spin it as if they're doing something unique. No, nigga. Fuck out of here. Women do that shit all the time. Women go out of town with $2 in her purse and then come back with $200 and flipped it. And that's what you did, nigga. You flipped that bussy about 4 or 5 times. That nigga's flipping bussy. Fuck out of here, nigga. Just accept who you are. Anywho. But, oh my God. But speaking of Boosie, the Griot put out an article talking about how black men are responsible for the violence against black trans people. Shame on you lying bastards over at the Griot for putting out that filth. That's despicable for them to put out an article with complete lies like that. And the person who wrote the article is a dude who's a transsexual as his damn self. But the fact that they put out those type of lies, that's propaganda. This dude put out an article talking about, black men, cis and straight black men, they responsible, they're toxic, and they responsible for all the deaths and violence of all the black trans people. Do you know how much of a damn lie that is? And I posted under the article, because I reposted the article, I showed link after link of cases where white men are killing these black trans people. These are white dudes, for the most part, killing black transsexual people. And also, a lot of cases are just unsolved. Most of the cases where black transsexuals are getting killed, the cases are unsolved because it's white people doing it. But then I've showed several cases all over the country where it was white dudes doing all these murders, because a lot of these trans people are in the sex industry. And those are your clients, white men. And they know that you're an easy target. If you are a serial killer or a murderer, you're going to go for somebody who's black and gay. Black, trans, same thing. Somebody in the black LGBT community. That's what you're going to go for, because you know those are easy targets. That's why Jeffrey Dahmer went after so many gay black men. That's why Ed Buck got so many damn dead black men coming out of his house or getting taken out of his house. They know that black men or gay black people are easy damn targets, because they assume that they're going to be somewhat estranged from their family, and they understand that the system of white supremacy is going to have a less priority to solve the murder of these people. That's the reality of it. And I think it's cowardly for these Negroes at the Griot and some of these other black folks in the LBG community to offer cover for the white LBG community, because they're protecting the Ed Bucks of the world. Those trannies be with white dudes. That's who they be with. And those are the ones who are harming them. Let's keep that thing a buck. And there was something else that they put out. And this is something we got to keep our eyes on, family. We got to really keep our eyes on this. There was something from Verizon. They had an ad that they put up talking about, it was a picture of a black, so I guess it was supposed to be a gay man. It was some kind of phone. Let me look it up on my Twitter real quick. Let me tell y'all the exact article. Let me show y'all what it says. Hold on 1 second. Let me look it up real quickly, y'all. Bear with me. Hold on. Where's that thing? I want to show y'all the exact... Oh, where the hell is that thing? Where is this thing? Okay. I wouldn't be able to find it all of a sudden. It was about Verizon. I can't find it, man. Where is this shit? It was something about them offering free minutes where you can call... What did it say? I don't want to paraphrase. I want to give y'all the right and exacts on what this thing says, family. Hold on. I want to give y'all the... Oh, here it is. I got it. Here it is. Okay, so it says, for this Pride Month, Verizon facilitated phone calls between 4 people of the LGB community and members of their family, with whom their coming out created tension. The message of the campaign is that it's never too late for love. And they got a black dude in the picture with a tear in his eye. Okay? So this message, and let me tell y'all something. The white supremacists, they're very slick at trying to act like they're trying to help us when they're trying to undermine us. See, watch them when they're trying to act like they're friendly. This is something to undermine us, because this is supposed to give the impression that the black community is inherently anti-homophobic. This is the message they like to drill out there. black community and homophobia, black community and homophobia. That's why Van Jones should never be accepted by black society again with that coon shit he did by getting on CNN talking about black homophobia in the black community. Those are talking points given to him by his white masters. And I'm telling y'all, what they're doing by going on and on talking about how homophobic the black community is and how violent we are towards trans people, which is a damn lie. When they keep doing that, painting the black community as violently homophobic, and also they blame us for Prop 8 not being passed out here in California, which is a lie. We didn't have anything to do with it not being passed, but that's the propaganda that they like to use. When they keep doing that, and then they keep using those civil rights laws to offer specific protection for the white LGBT community, what they're trying to do is set it up to basically undermine those protections for black people, give them to the white LGBT community, and then use those laws, those federal laws, to start targeting black people with federal hate crimes by saying, okay, since black folks are so damn homophobic and now the white LGBT community is a protected class, well, look at all these homophobic black people. We're going to have to start locking them up because they're so damn homophobic, and now homophobia is a hate crime, so now we're going to have to get them. They just did that in Brazil. Those laws that were supposed to be for racial equality for the black people in Brazil, they done gutted that and made it for the white LGBT down in Brazil. They just did that, and they're trying to do that here now. Actually, what's interesting, the Republicans are thwarting them from doing that all the way. But they're trying to gut those laws that protect us and make them for the white LGBT community so they can start saying, hey, look, hey, man, it was black folks, just like they did with the crime bill. Black people wanted us to do something about all the homophobia. It was the black leaders who want us to do something about all this homophobia. I mean, come on. So we had to pass a bill that would lock all y'all niggas up for not wanting to get raped by a transsexual. Because that's what it's going to boil down to now. If you don't want to get raped by some dude dressed as a woman, well, that's homophobia. I'm telling y'all, that's where this shit is going. If your child don't want to get molested by one of these folks, and you say, hey, don't get up on my child with that bullshit. Hey, well, you're attacking him as a hate crime. They just did something like that out there in North Carolina. Remember they had that march out there and a white man tried to molest a little black girl in broad daylight and the mother was about to pepper spray him and the police told the mother, the black mother, if you would have assaulted him, we would have arrested you. They're making black homosexuality a crime within itself. They already made your blackness a crime. Just now they can say, okay, look, you don't want to be raped or sodomized by somebody. You're violating hate crime laws. And these white supremacist Democrats are pushing this stuff. This is why, man, the Democrats, we got to hold their asses to the fire. We're not going to let them point to the Trump administration and say, hey, look, don't vote for them because they're racist and you're equally as damn racist. And shame on all the John Lewis's and all these Negroes piling up to support this type of bullshit. These Negroes are our enemies. And we got to understand that, family. And this whole thing that they're talking about with the college debt, they're going to erase the college debt for everybody. And that's going to affect black people because there's so many black people with college debt. If y'all go for that con game, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. They're running that con game now. Here, they start. Bernie Sanders came out with that lift all boats bullshit. Here they go with that lift all boats stuff. I told y'all, when we go for reparations and they keep telling us that we can't get no damn reparations, and then they come at us with this alternative. Well, we're going to give everybody $1,000. Or we're going to wipe out everybody's debt. That doesn't help us. That doesn't help us. It's a con. Don't ever, 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 ever go for that. It is a con. That, oh, let's lift everybody up. That still keeps us on the bottom. When you lift everybody up, that still keeps us on the bottom because we're the ones economically behind. You can't lift us up and bring us economically forward. You don't. You keep everybody on top of us. It's a con game. Also, most of the people in college are white. So, again, It's this whole, we're going to, black folks suffer, but we're going to give more reparations to white people. Just like with affirmative action. We got this thing, we want to be friends with everybody with that friend bullshit. And they said, okay, we'll give affirmative action because of the wrongs that we've done to black folks, but let's do it for minorities. I mean, if we're going to do affirmative action, let's just, we can't make it racially based. If we're going to stop doing things based on race, let's stop right now. I know we've been doing things based on race, and we need to correct the action of doing things based on race and excluding people based on race. So let's stop it right now when we give you this affirmative action. And dumbass black folks went for that stupid shit. Dumb black folks went for that. Okay, that's fine. Don't ever go for a deal like that. The minute you allow any other group to share what's designed for us, they're going to trick bag it up and we're going to be excluded. We don't get nothing out of affirmative action. Everybody and they mama get affirmative action benefits except us. And then they play dumb and act like we're getting it. Well, you black folks got all your affirmative action. I mean, come on. When they start saying that, they know it's bullshit. Understand, the white supremacists, they wink at each other when they do that. They play this game that they're being so disenfranchised by all the affirmative action that black people are getting. That's a con game, and they know it's a con game. That's why, stop wasting time explaining to them who gets. If they know that white women get affirmative action. We've been telling them that for the last 10 years. They know. But they still go and tell the same lie, hoping that black folks don't know. I mean, God, I mean, you guys get affirmative action. I mean, man, what else do you want, man? They know that white women get that more than anybody, and gay white men and Hispanic white men and Asians and all these other groups. They understand this. So we're not going to go for that. And what's interesting, a lot of the black folks you see who will co-sign that, hey, man, We that sounds like a good deal, man. We black folks need to go for that. Man, that sounds like a good reparation, man. We ain't gonna get no reparation. We need to go for that damn college debt. You know, most of the Negroes who say that, those are these anchor babies and immigrants. Most of the Negroes co-signing that are these anchor babies and these immigrants. And that's what we got to talk about on tonight's show. Because understand, there's a lot of immigrants who go to college. They come over here and, they get all these set-asides and benefits that was supposed to be for us, but they wrapped them around the words minority, and these other groups go and gut it and use up all the resources, and there's nothing in there for us. So they're all for that. They're all for that. Everybody's standing on our backs. But family, understand this. One of the biggest problems that we got in black society, we got white supremacy, but we got a clean house of the collaborators. We got to really clean up and deal with these collaborators. And one way to deal with them is identifying them. We better know who's who, especially who's out here supposed to be speaking for us. We need to know who's who. And the biggest problem to black people in the last, I say, 500 years are anchor baby Negroes. These Negroes who are brought in, or whose parents come from different societies and bring them in, or have babies in a town or a culture or a country, and then undermine the people of that culture. Somebody said, what's an anchor baby? I'm breaking that down. The general term for an anchor baby is, like, for example, in the U.S., an anchor baby is a group of immigrants come over from another country and then have a baby in the U.S. The baby is a citizen. And if the baby is a citizen here, the family can stay. That's an anchor baby. So the baby has anchored the family. Once they have a baby on U.S. soil, the baby is technically a U.S. citizen. Or a citizen of that particular country. They do it out there in France, for example. A lot of those sisters come from Africa, and the minute they touch down, they fuck a white man and have a baby immediately so they can be citizens of France or whatever country over there in Europe. So you get benefits once you've anchored that baby into that society. You got it? That's what an anchor baby is. And those anchor babies benefit especially over here, from the 14th Amendment, laws that were made for black people. The 14th Amendment, that was written specifically for black people, but all these anchor babies come over here under the 14th Amendment. They all come over and anchor their society from the 14th Amendment. And some of these anchor babies are extremely destructive to black society. You know, Michelle Malkin, who's over there, the little dark-skinned Filipino anti-black racist. And these people from different cultures, these anchor babies, even some of the black ones, are extremely detrimental to black society. This goes back to the Portuguese going over there to Africa. When the Portuguese went over to Africa, one way they wanted to undermine West African society, the Portuguese went over there and started having children with the black royal families over there. And the children were called Lancados. And those Lancados over there were some of the biggest slave catchers, because they had dual allegiances to different countries, primarily the country of their fathers. And John Henry Clark talked about this. A lot of these people, the mixed race people, usually have an allegiance to the conquering father. We're going to break it all the way down. So this started with the Portuguese. They were the buffer class. They're anchor babies over there in West Africa. Those are the ones that did everything they could to undermine African society. We can go all the way over to East Africa. I've been to Zanzibar in Tanzania. In Zanzibar, there was one of the biggest, most successful and prosperous slave owners and slave traders. He was a trader. I won't say an owner, but he was a slave trader. He traded African people to different countries. The black dude named Tipu Tip. Now, his dad was an Arab, but his mama was African. And this coon sold everybody out. This Negro ass coon, Tipu Tip, was selling everybody out because he had dual allegiances to the Arab community and very minimal allegiance to his mama's community, which was the African community. And we see that now. When you see some of these anchor babies and these Negroes out here who have dual allegiances, when they have allegiances here, which is very minimal because we're just their come up, and they have allegiance to their parents or their mother's land or their father's land, they do everything they can to undermine us in many cases. Just look at The Root and look at Shea Butter Twitter. Most of them, you'll see an American flag or an African or Caribbean flag on their profiles, or just the African or Caribbean flag. They won't even have the American flag on there. These are these people who have dual allegiances. And that's dangerous. See, foundational black Americans, we only have one allegiance. This is why there's certain things that most of us will do, certain things we don't do when it comes to dealing with the white supremacists. But some of these Negroes, they're like, well, hell, I'm not one of these Negroes, really. I'm kind of sort of like them, but not really. So they have dual allegiances. So it's nothing for them to undermine us. Y'all saw that Negro who got on the reparations panel? That Negro, he tried to hide his Puerto Rican background, but he had dual allegiances. This dude had an allegiance to Puerto Rico, to that culture. And he even said, hell, I can get more benefits for just claiming black. So let me drop this Puerto Rican thing and just come up. Let me stop saying it openly. And Candace Owens, too. People forget, Candace Owens, for years, she was claiming to be Caribbean because her family's from the Virgin Islands. So she claimed that. She claimed a different culture. That was her thing. And notice in these reparations meetings, And when Candace Owens, remember, Candace Owens, there was some kind of thing where she spoke it with Congress. And the first thing she said, well, my grandfather was on a plantation, blah, blah, blah. So that's going to be their cred. That's them saying, okay, look, I'm qualified because I'm black like everybody else. But now let me throw all the black folks under the bus. Because my great-great-grandfather, who I have no allegiance to, yeah, he was on a plantation because I'm an anchor baby, but now let me throw all you Negroes under the bus. We don't need reparations, and we just need to work harder because we're lazy. Just like that Puerto Rican coon. Yeah, my great-great-grandfather was from the Hughes family at Monticello with Thomas Jefferson, blah, 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 and now black folks shouldn't get reparations. Yeah, look at the Angela Rise and the Roland. Remember, Roland was talking all that shit about we don't need no, we ain't gonna get no reparations. Don't let Roland fool you. Roland, he has a Haitian background. Roland was talking that shit real heavy. Look up his social media. Roland was talking that. Don't let Roland fool you. You seat at the table. Don't let him fool you. These folks go out of their way. Look at all these Boulay Negroes, all these, they go out of their way to try to undermine us. They go out of their way to try to undermine us. And I was debating a white supremacist suspect on Twitter earlier today. And they try to play the minority camaraderie card. And this is something that black folks are going to have to stop going for, because people try to run to us and say, hey, man, I'm not racist. I'm mixed with European, Hispanic and Native American. So, you know, I'm not white. I'm a minority too. We should be allies. And these people try to run that game on us. The I'm a minority too. When it's convenient. Now understand, these people, they classify themselves as white, but when they get around us to try to run game and try to undermine us, they try to play the minority card. And also, when it comes time to get some benefits, when it comes time for them to get a student loan or some affirmative action or some type of set aside, then they start playing up their minority thing. They go, they darken up a little bit. But understand, when somebody tells you they're from all these different cultures, how they ain't white, well, I'm Persian, Hispanic, and Native American. What they're telling you is that they're coming from three different cultures with their own individual form of anti-black hatred. So when they tell you they're Hispanic, Native American, Persian, or whatever, you're getting a triple threat of anti-black racism. Do you understand that? This is why these Negroes are so damn dangerous to us and some of these other minority groups, quote unquote. When they come to us and they got all these different mixtures, we're getting different mixtures of anti-black hate. This is why their racism and vitriol to us is damn near 10 times as much as the damn white supremacists. When they tell me how many ethnicities they come from, I'm really on alert with their ass. Because now you're about to triple down with your anti-black hatred. When they tell you they from Persia or whatever, anywhere with that Native American, understand, these, some of these Native Americans, they were slave owners. Don't let them fool you. Many of these Native Americans were slave owners, and many of them are $5 Indians. They're not real Native Americans anyway. And I broke down that Hispanic anti-black hatred. I'm going to get on that in a minute. I'm going to break that down. But they're giving you three reasons why they're going to hate harder on you, because now they want to impress white daddy. So they're going to use their anti-black hatred from their particular cultures with their own little flavor on it. So they tell you, well, I'm not racist. I'm not like the white supremacists. I'm Chinese, East Indian, and Portuguese. So you giving me three flavors of anti-black racism. I'm getting three flavors of some of that East Indian racism, which they hate black folks. some of that Chinese racism where Chinese people are treated janky over there, and Portuguese racism where they've been racist since the Moors were over there. So I'm getting all that anti-black racism from your ass, because that's the thing that binds all of you. Understand, family, all of these non-black groups, when they come around you, they might be on some, well, I'm not a white supremacist, but that doesn't make you not anti-black. See, this is why I use the terms interchangeably. This is why I use the term anti-black a lot. And we have to use that term more to describe these groups, because they'll try to play, well, I'm not white, my grandmother's this. No, 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 no. You're still anti-black. And that locks them in right there. You're not going to play the ethnic card. You can't play it no more, because no matter what ethnicity you try to claim, it's still anti-black at the end of the day. You dig? But we don't go for that minority thing. When people tell you or run to you with that minority talk, when they start talking all that minority and we all in this together, no. We're not in this together and we're not the same, and I still have to deal with your culture's anti-blackness. And that thing is real heavy in the Latino Hispanic community. Because you got to understand with Latino, and I'm not shitting on Latinos or Hispanics, because we got some cool ones. But generally as a culture, Hispanic culture, by definition, is a mulatto culture. It's a mixed culture. When you talk about Hispanic culture, you're only talking about a culture that's 500 years old. Let's talk history and geography. When you're talking about Hispanic culture, and you're talking, Hispanic is basically here in the Western Hemisphere. So that culture is only 500 years old. It's a relatively new culture in relation to the rest of the dominant world society. And that culture, by definition, is a mixed race culture. So by definition, the allegiances are going to be dual, even triple. They have dual allegiances. Do you understand? Or even triple. Because they'll claim Spain. They all claim Spain, and everything else is secondary. Spain is first. Notice, whenever you talk to a person who's Hispanic, no matter where they are in the Western Hemisphere, in a Spanish-speaking country, their first allegiance is with the fatherland, or their motherland, Spain. Well, no matter how dark they are, no matter how light they are, no, Spanish! They're Spanish. In Mexico, they're Spanish. Puerto Rican, they're Spanish. The Dominican Republic, they're Spanish. According to them, they put Spain first. Like I said, they're going to have an allegiance first with the mother fatherland or the conquering land. And second, you talk to a Hispanic person, once they tell you what they're mixed with, the first thing they're going to say is Spanish. The second thing is Indian, Native American. That's the second. Which many of them are not mixed with no damn Native American, but they're going to tell you that. They be jet black as hell. I mix with Taino Indian. I'm Taino Indian. I mix with Taino Indian. You're not mixed with no goddamn Taino Indian. Most of the Tainos died off centuries ago. You ain't mixed with no damn Taino Indian. I Taino Indian. No, you're not, Jose, with your black ass. You ain't even mixed with Spanish, nigga. They brought your ass over and just made you learn Spanish. They ain't mixed with you. Some of these niggas ain't even mixed with Spanish. They just taught their ass Spanish as a language. I Spanish. No, nigga, they just taught you Spanish. You ain't Spanish. You understand? But this is the mindset that they done put on niggas. I Aztec warrior. No, nigga. You an ashy warrior. You're not Aztec. You're an ashy warrior. Put some lotion on with your black ass. Because you are not mixed. You're an ashy warrior, my nigga. You take the sombrero off, nigga, and put on a kango and a kufi. And make me an empanada. But the thing is, in Hispanic culture, it's a mixed culture by definition. So there's always going to be these dual allegiances, these dual alliances. So the blackness is something that they just have to come to terms with. That's the last straw. That's their come up. They come to us when they're in danger. You understand? They have to come to black society. They have to claim the blackness when white mommy and white daddy is reprimanding them too much. Then they come to terms with the blackness. Because when you look, and I said this on my broadcast the other day, when you look at Hispanic countries in the Western Hemisphere, when they got their independence, it was the black people there fighting to get it. When they got their independence, it was the black people in those nations that helped them to get it. In the Dominican Republic, that was the Haitians went over there and got the Spanish off of them, and they wanted the Spanish to be back on them. Bolivar, I think that's the name down there in Colombia, Venezuela, those places, they went to Haiti to ask for help to get the Spanish off of them. Do y'all know that? Venezuela, Colombia, all of these, many of these Spanish countries, because they saw the work the Dessalines and Toussaint was putting in against them damn white supremacists. Some of these Hispanic leaders went to Haiti and said, hey, can y'all get them off our ass too? And the Haitians in Haiti helped these countries get their damn independence. And then they all turned on Haiti. Look at Cuba. One of the rebel leaders that helped get Cuba its independence was Antonio Maceo. Black dude. They called him the Bronze Titan. Black dude. Getting the Spanish off the ass of the Cubans. Down in Mexico, Gaspar Yanga. Black dude getting the Spanish. Black people down in Mexico, and that's something that we really got to explore, the black influence down in Mexico. Black people have been putting in work down in Mexico. It was always black people getting them Spanish off their ass. They never put in no work against the white supremacists. When you look at history, you don't see anybody Hispanic in the Western Hemisphere putting in no work against the white supremacists, getting them off their backs. You don't see that. Not only that, you had, and I talked about this the other day, you had people like Vicente Guerrero, who's a black man who fought in the War of Independence for Mexico and became the president there because he helped get the Spanish off their ass. And then they ended up, the Mexican, white Mexicans down there ended up getting him assassinated because they didn't want a black man running the country because he was going to rise everybody else up. He was going to make everybody equal. And also remember, there was a lot of black folks from the U.S., a lot of free, were people who were freeing themselves, a lot of Seminoles went down there to Mexico, and they protected Mexico. People like John Horse, these were riders, man. You had black folks up here whooping ass, and they went down there to protect Mexico. Look up Cinco de Mayo. Those were black soldiers fighting off the French. That's what Cinco de Mayo is about. On May 5th of, I think, 1860, France was going to come in, as Napoleon III was going to come in and take over Mexico and join with the Confederates. Napoleon III was going to give arms to the Confederacy during the Civil War because, again, France always wanted to get another stronghold back in the Western Hemisphere. They wanted to get, because they lost all that land because of the Haitian Revolution, so they were trying to, you know, get back. So it was some black folks down there in Mexico fighting, those black soldiers fighting, and that thing became Cinco de Mayo, the battle that they're talking about. I think it's the Battle of Puebla, something like that. You dig? So we've always fought and whipped ass for these Hispanic countries, and then they turn around and then join with the oppressor class against us. This is why I tell folks to hold their damn nuts. Like when folks are showing all of these images and talking about what's going on down in the border now, my thing is this. If you're trying to get into another country when you're not supposed to, I mean, you're putting yourself in a situation. they're going to have to hold their own nuts. It's not my job to be sympathetic or whatever, but these people are putting themselves in danger, knowing that there's a major danger with going to the border and all that old stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to go out. I ain't fighting for nobody, because we don't get all this damn sympathy when our children are out here dying in the damn streets and they're not trying to sneak into nobody else's country. We got people in their own country trying to live and we're getting slaughtered. There's no national outcry, so I don't have no national outcry for anybody else. I don't take the high road. I take the equal road. Everybody's going to get treated for me the same way they treat me. You're going to get treated the same way. You're going to have the same concern that you give me. I'm on an equal train. I am nobody's fucking slave. I'm not about to sit around whining and crying, oh, Lord, what's happening? No, no, no. Y'all, I don't see all this wailing and crying and we're going to boycott different country companies and all this. And ain't nobody doing that for us, so I ain't about to move a muscle. I got to save my energy for my folks. Same energy. Same energy. Ain't nobody hating on you, but hey, Tariq, man, what's going on in the border is horrible. What's going on above the border is horrible, too, and I'm dealing with that, and I don't feel no energy from nobody. So since you're not giving me no energy, I don't really have the energy to give you. Handle yours. Because I'm forced to handle mine. I'm not on the kumbaya train. Because the thing is, nobody's going to be grateful anyway. Why are black people jumping to the rescue as if these people are going to be grateful to us? Nobody's grateful to us. I want black folks to stop putting on the cape for all these people running down. Oh, Lord, we can't. This is horrible. That ain't gonna work. That's not going. You're trying to ingratiate yourself to these people, all these different groups. They're gonna still have hatred for you. Did y'all see footage of this white police officer in St. Louis got shot? This brother shot him at a store. The black dude shot this dude at some kind of check cashing store. And there was some black women around. And the police officer died, by the way. And these women were on some, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, please, you got to, oh, we're going to help you, baby, stay alive, come on now, Lord. It was on some plantation mammy talk. I mean, they were just really going overboard with this white cop dying. They were really going, oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. I mean, they were just going on and on and on and on and on. And they were extra concerned. They were there trying to, you know, soothe them and all this stuff. And do you know, all these white people are still talking crap about these women. One of the women who filmed it, because one woman was live streaming, and they were like, why are you live streaming this? And I'm assuming she was live streaming it so that they could show that they weren't involved. Because, you know, a police officer gets shot, and the police come and start gaffling everybody up. So I'm assuming this sister wanted to shoot it and show it to say, okay, hey, look, we tried to help. So they were like threatening this sister for putting it up, and she has to apologize. Fuck that. Don't apologize. You were just showing what was happening so that you could stay clear so you wouldn't get blamed for anything. And white supremacists are just talking about all these ghetto ass loud women. They should have done more. And I'm like, I would have walked the fuck out. Yeah, they threatening this sister. I would have walked out. Oops, I gotta go. I'm leaving. I don't know if the gunman is coming back. I gotta go. Bye. That's how I would have been. Because, well, y'all gonna throw us under the bus anyway, so I ain't involved. I'm not involved. But I think that's very despicable for them to criticize those sisters, and they were just going overboard, and they were just real extra with trying to help this guy, and these white supremacists are still throwing them under the bus. Because the white supremacists, see, let me tell you something. And a few police officers have been shot this week, by the way. There's been a few white cops shot this week. Now, one out here in, I think it's Sacramento, he was shot. Well, she was white woman. She was a cop. She was shot by a Hispanic dude. There was a cop shot yesterday in Illinois. He was shot by a white dude and killed. And the cop in St. Louis was shot by a brother. Now, when they get shot by a brother, it hit different for the white supremacists. They treat that as a military loss. And the fact that it was streamed and you could see this white cop dying at the hands of a brother, they take that as a major loss. They don't like that image being shown. All of a sudden, now we shouldn't show nobody dying on video. When they show black people dying on a regular damn basis, I don't want to hear that. Y'all show dead photos of Trayvon Martin and y'all make jokes about it. So now it's wrong to show somebody dying, and nobody's mocking this officer for dying. But the image of that, because see, the white supremacists like to put up the image that they're infallible, that they're gods on earth. So showing a quote God, a white God sitting there dying on the floor with a bunch of sisters around him, that destroys the image of white supremacy. They don't like the optics of that. That really bothers them. They really don't like that. That thing hits real different when you see it like that. See, they lust black death. It's like a snuff film. It's like pornography looking at black folks dying. But when it's one of them, all of a sudden, hey, let's have some respect for the dead. No, y'all don't have respect for nothing. And when it comes back on you, all the ridiculing and all that stuff goes out the window, see? So none of these people are at liberty to tell us how to react to anything. They're not at liberty to tell us nothing until they get it in order. They're not at liberty to tell us how to react to the Beth death with that disgusting racist and her racist-ass murderous husband. We can react however we feel to systematic white supremacy. We don't have to go for it, and we can react however we feel to it. You dig? And I choose to react like this. Shout out to Dog the Bounty Hunter. Celebrate good times. Come on. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. I'm out of here. Y'all go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get tickets for Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3. No, get tickets for Hidden Colors 5 and get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 and 1804 at the website. Get the new Hidden Colors 5 t-shirts. I'm going to holler at y'all Sunday.